This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's always great to have you with us.
It's always great to be here, even as events flow fast and furious over the health care bill.
Well, they certainly do. It's been the dominant story all week on Capitol Hill and throughout the political conversation, really, in the country. This debate's been going on for over a year in this particular version of it, and some would say for decades. John, we're probably days away from what appears to now be a Sunday afternoon vote on the Senate bill in one form or another. We'll get to your final prediction on this in just a moment. But one of the big parts of this debate this week has been the process. For a while this week, and to some extent it still seems, that Nancy Pelosi is still a few votes short. And as a result, she's thinking about using a strategy called deem and pass, which would not call for a direct vote on the Senate bill, but on the proposed changes to the bill. What do you make of this, and what do you think the political impact is?
She'll never get away with it. Deem and pass is a rarely used procedure when, as you say, they never actually vote on the bill, they just tweak it a little bit. My idea is that even members of her own party are going to balk a little bit about using such an arcane and esoteric process on something that affects 16% of the American economy, and that the more Americans hear about it, the more opposed they get. I would say if it's passed this way, many people are going to say it is wired, packed, rigged, and stacked, and that they will get an earful on it when they go home for Easter recess. My guess is that they will go back to trying to get an up or down vote, and that in the end, albeit narrowly, it will lose. Dennis Kucinich, yesterday after a ride on Air Force One, says now he's in favor of it. On the other hand, Congressman Luis Gutierrez of Illinois has said he's opposed to it because it makes it harder for illegal immigrants, he feels, to obtain health care. And the pro-life Democrats, led by Michigan's Congressman Bart Stupak, seem adamantly opposed to it. My guess in the end is that Pelosi will twist arms, make threats, do all she can, but it won't come up. And President Obama will leave for Indonesia without signing a bill.
So you're staying with your prediction that this will not become law. John, you mentioned one key figure in this debate who is not a very well-known figure a few months ago, but he certainly is now, Congressman Stupak. Right now, he's kind of the darling of the opponents of this bill, even though, other than the abortion language, he supports it. And, of course, he's being demonized by pro-choice folks and anyone who otherwise wants the legislation. What's his political stock after this, regardless of the outcome?
Congressman Stupak has certainly been mentioned for higher office. I would say he could probably win the governorship nomination in Michigan on the Democratic side, his pro-life views notwithstanding, for the simple reason Michigan Democrats have no one else to run for the seat of lame duck Governor Jennifer Granholm. On the other hand, he has repeatedly abjured a run for governor, saying his work in the House is too important. I think Bart Stupak will have his 15 minutes of fame, and I think that reporters will go to him more and more as other parts of the Obama agenda come down. Remember something. If you take away the issue of abortion, like a lot of other Michigan Democrats, Bart Stupak votes down the line with President Obama.
That's certainly the case. He certainly voted for the stimulus and for cap and trade and a number of other Obama initiatives. John, one last question before we get off of health care, and that's the CBO score that came out today. Obviously, Republicans say it's based on accounting gimmicks that will never pan out and will go much deeper into debt. But according to this estimate from the CBO, it comes in at $940 billion, allegedly saves about $130 billion in deficit savings over a 10-year span, or at least the first 10-year span. Is that going to be much of a motivator for some of these fence sitters?
No, I don't think so at all. The Congressional Budget Office had scored the first Obama-backed health care initiative, saying it would increase the deficit. And the White House, led by the president's top spokesman, Robert Gibbs, dismissed the CBO figures right away and said there were other figures out there. My guess is that CBO goes one way on one bill, goes another on another, and that pretty soon it becomes all of a blur to members of Congress as much as it does to the public. It won't have any effect on it, even though CBO has jumped through the Obama hoops.
John, let's move to another story now that's overseas. The Vice President, Joe Biden, last week was in the Middle East. There was a spat over the timing of an Israeli announcement that they would increase a settlement in a key Jewish neighborhood of East Jerusalem. The Obama administration, of course, has been on the record strongly opposing any additional expansion of the settlements. Some harsh language between Obama administration officials and Prime Minister Netanyahu in the last few days. We've seen some Palestinian violence. What do you make of all this?
The worst-kept secret in Washington and in the Middle East is that, in contrast to the Bush and Clinton administrations, the Obama administration has the most distant relationships with Israel. And the problems therein have been exacerbated by the fact that the man at the top in the Israeli government is someone who has very little in common with Barack Obama, and that is Benjamin Netanyahu, the candidate of the right-of-center Likud party. The announcement was very ill-timed, and especially coming after the vice president's visit and a very warm welcome from Prime Minister Netanyahu, who announced an award in honor of the vice president's late mother, Jean. My guess is that this will not amount to much, but it's the tip of the iceberg and the shape of things to come for a very cold and distant relationship, probably the coldest and most distant since the Carter administration had with the late Prime Minister Menachem Begin.
Talked to one expert this week, John, real quickly, who said that right now, present conditions, given the situation between the U.S. and Israel, as well as the fact that Hamas is in Gaza, that anyone who thinks that there's a chance for peace right now doesn't understand the region.
I second that.
In closing here, John, a couple of quick questions before we let you go. You have some thoughts on the passing of an acting legend this week, Peter Graves.
Yes, Peter Graves was someone I was a major fan of when he was the head of the Impossible Missions Force on TV. And so much of the dialogue, this tape will self-destruct and your mission, should you refuse to accept it, became staples of the 1960s and 70s as he led his team into operations such as deposing leaders not friendly to the United States in some unnamed European People's Republic, to making sure that American mobsters would not have control of a town somewhere. The IMF operated overseas and in the United States. Peter Graves played the part well, and to those of us who grew up in the Cold War, we cheered Mr. Phelps and his team on. He was also a gentleman, as far as I know. I knew people who worked with him, someone who cared about his family. And also, as someone who started off being known as the kid brother of Marshall Dillon, James Arness, Peter Graves changed his name, operated on his own, and became a star without any assistance or identification with his more famous older brother. And, of course, those who were not IMF fans remember him from the airplane movies. A true gentleman and a star and someone who will be missed.
John, well said. And on a far lighter note, the biggest question outside of will health care reform pass is who you got winning the NCAA tournament?
I defer to Barack Obama on that. And in the end, I have to say, I never thought I'd link myself with Kathleen Sebelius, but I'm a Jayhawks fan.
We'll find out. And President Obama, I'm sure, is happy to have your solidarity on at least one issue. John, thanks for being with us.
Waiting to see if the Jayhawks win as health care loses. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.